last chorus that we sang together as a family here. Luke chapter number 12. Notice what the Bible says here, the Lord speaking. Luke 12, verse number 15. May the Lord help us today to renew our perspective, renew our purpose, renew our passion. Renew, revive, reignite. Refresh our hearts. Bring life again to stir us. Luke 12, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, take heed," or pay attention, "and beware of covetousness." The Bible teaches us, "Thou shalt not covet," in the Ten Commandments. Covetousness is a sin. It's a lustful craving for more money and more materialism, never being content. Rather, we find that God gives us the exhortation that just be content. Amen? This is true godliness. This is the will of God. Instead of having hearts consumed with desiring more of this and more of that, that we would long for more of God and God alone. To seek first His work, His will, following His word, His kingdom. As we mentioned last night, if you were in the service, "Thee first, not me first." And just in case we were concerned, he does add on the promise, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, in case you were wondering, in case you were worried, all these things shall be added unto you. I would rather have God add them instead of me having to sweat and bleed trying to add them. Because God will do it effortlessly. He simply spoke a word and things came into being. How mind-blowing, amen? The fact that we don't have to serve the Lord, we don't have to live for God, we get to live for God. What a blessing. God living in us and through us, how that we can be His vessel as we're yielded unto Him. In all that we would understand here today, that God is trying to speak unto us, or to have a life that will count for Christ, having a life that will want to live for Him and serve Him, to wherever it is, and in whatever capacity it might be, for however long it might be, to live for Jesus, to serve God. Amen. The very last breath. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? Because a man's life, for a man's life, your existence, my existence, consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The sooner we learn that, and the sooner we swallow that and live by that, the better off we will be. Verse number 31, but rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. In verse number 31 of Luke 12, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We see down in verse number 35, he exhorts, let your loins be girded about, which means that you are ready, instant, and you are prepared in season or out of season. You're ready to serve God, amen? You're like the old-fashioned Minutemen there during that war for independence. I love studying our American heritage, part of our ministry and such, but how that even on the moment's notice, they were ready to launch out of the bed, awake and alert, vigilant, valiant people that were ready to grab the musket and go fight for their faith and go fight for their family, go fight for freedom, go fight for the future. May God help us to be ready in season or out of season. Grabbing the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and going forth, charging into the very gates of hell, knowing that we have the power of God. And as we go forth in the presence of God, with the promises and principles of God's word, knowing his word will not return void, knowing that our work is not in vain, knowing that the world will never have the victory. Even though that this may be their hour, this moment of darkness, we know that God is still the ruler and he's still the king, and the church will continually be built and it'll continue to go forward regardless of what all of the satanic forces may throw against the work of God. Now, you know what's crazy is that we're the ones that are supposed to be on the front lines. I don't know about you, but that is overwhelming to me. What a privilege. What a privilege. This life is not just about the physical, the tangible and the temporal. It's not at all. Our life is about the spiritual and the eternal and the supernatural. We see here, he says, and notice in verse number 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights. Let your lights, what's the last word? Burning. A fire that is burning. My wife wrote a song a handful of years ago entitled Burning for Thee, based off of a statement that Amy Carmichael said in a poem. She said this in the final stanza of that poem, give me your love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. My wife has not sung this in quite some time, I've asked her. We're just being very sensitive to the Lord today, of course, in all of our music and everything, but I really feel burdened, and we feel burdened that this is a song. And music, by the way, is just a medium. Just a medium. We have a whole book in the Bible that's a song book. Book of Psalms. We find so much encouragement and exhortation from that passage, don't we? It's a song book. All those verses were sung. And so understand that even this music that you're about to hear, it is a message. But instead of it being articulated in just a sentence format, it's being articulated in a musical format. So mind the Lord, listen to the still small voice, pray this as my wife sings this song. Need to write that down. Take my life, Lord. I offer it to you. Let me burn for thee. Something that I must put in front of my eyes daily is the truth that God only uses the yielded. I encourage you to jot it down. God only uses the yielded. Are we fully surrendered, fully yielded? You know, it gets awkward, especially in revival meetings, when things like this are mentioned, because many times all of the adults, man, they rejoice. Yes, the young people need to hear that kind of preaching. What about the rest of us old fogies, right? We get set in our ways. What about it, staff? Maybe adults that may be in the room, and certainly not trying to back you into a corner or anything like that, but it's so true, if we're not careful, we will become stagnant, even in the ministry. And the ministry can become status quo. That we would daily desire a stirring, as it says in 2 Peter, how many times that we are established in these things, we know these things. We could even quote the verses backwards, we know them so well. God says, I think it's needful for you to be stirred. or to agitate the waters, to render active, to bring fire again, to shake it, to stir you. God only uses the yielded. God only fills the empty. God only fills the empty. And God only anoints the thirsty. Those who are thirsty, those are the ones he'll pour the water out under the dry ground, the floods from heaven. As we stop and we think about the fact that God wants to use every single one of us, it's so overwhelming. I mean, what a privilege to be here in chapel. I mean, it just overwhelms me. My wife and I, it's so overwhelming. Thank you for this opportunity. It's so stifling in the sense of looking out and looking into the eyes. Many of you we know and others we've never met and things, but what a joy to be able to stand before you. But to look, as you're looking at me, I'm looking back at you. There is so much potential in this room. It's overwhelming. If God could use 10 people who are faithfully and fully sold out to the cause of Christ, a righteous remnant, people that regardless of whether people were going to listen or not, or people were going to accept the truth or not, they were going to stay faithful, and they were going to stay focused, and they were going to stay yielded and holy before God, not living their own life, but a life for Jesus, and a life that was filled with Jesus, the holiness of God, radiating and resonating through them. And the world could sense and see something different about them. They weren't blending him, but they were righteous people. Just 10 could have spared hellfire and brimstone being poured out physically from the sky. Have you ever been in a storm like that before? Where the rain is lava? Everything those silver bowls penetrate, it's piercing through, even going through flesh instantaneously, and all the things of the catastrophe of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if there was just but 10 people that were staying the course, that were stirred up for God, that were sincere and sold out and serious about living for Jesus Christ, God would have given a little space grace. God would have given mercy in the midst of the moment in which there should have been judgment. I mean, how many people are in here? How many people are in the student body, would you say? Guesstimate. How many? 369, potentially 350 people, even more than that in this room right now. Think about what the world, God could do with 350 people that were genuinely passionate, sold out for the cause of the Lord. Now the question is, are you in it to win it? How truly yielded are you? Who truly means business? We're not belaboring anything. This is how the Lord has led us to have this chapel hour. The last song before we get into the remainder of the time that we have in the message, my two boys are going to come, David and Jonathan. David is going to turn 8 years old on Sunday. Jonathan is 6 years old, and they're going to sing with mom a song entitled "I Want to Live My Life for You." We just recorded this for the new album that'll come out, Lord willing, in a few months, but I want you to think about this. And as they sing this chorus, that's my desire for these boys, just to live for Jesus, whatever that might be, the will of God. I pray that that's your heart's desire. And as they sing this chorus especially, that you will sing it as well in your heart, "I want to live my life for you. Not I surrender some or little, but I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior." in your Bibles as we continue during this chapel hour in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Don't let the things around me, Lord, take you from my view, for I want to follow in your will and live my life for you. God only uses the yielded. God only fills the empty. God only anoints the thirsty. To understand here today that God has a specific purpose for every single one of us. Our lives are not a mistake or an accident. I love the testimony of what we find here in Jeremiah chapter number 1. We see here in verse number 4 in Jeremiah 1, verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I pray that the word of the Lord comes to you today. Many of you are probably familiar with this text. Maybe this has been referenced recently in chapel. Maybe you've read it recently in your devotions. I don't know. God's word is true. In Psalm 139, we find the wonderful and beautiful text in which God knows everything about us, all of the details. He's fascinated with us. He delights in us as his children. How that he designed us and he formed us fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. However, that period of time as we were in the womb, God, with his own hand, his own thoughts, his own heart, his own fingers, fashioned us and formed us. You're all probably familiar with Patch the Pirate, right? He made this statement years ago on one of his albums. I was created by God, and God makes no mistakes. Do you remember that one? I think it was from Friendship Mutiny. Maybe not. I was created by God, and God makes no mistakes. In every single human existence, there is never a whoops or an uh-oh. Or, I messed up with that. Regardless of your background, regardless of whatever the home life may have been, this, that, and the other, you fill in the details of your own personal story of what God has given you. May the word of the Lord come to us. May we understand here, if you want to jot it down, you can. I was called for a purpose. I was called for a purpose. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before we were even a human thought, before our parents even knew, maybe you came from a broken home and your mother only knew. Maybe you don't even know who your parents are. You were in foster care or you were adopted. But before you even became a thought here in the realm of the physical, you were already in the heart and on the mind of God. How wonderful that God knows exactly who Caleb Garraway is, even though my existence and my life in the grand comparison of the universe and even this planet, one out of 7+ billion people, my life is just but a vapor. My existence is more microscopic than a speck of dust. But thank God, he knows who I am, that I'm in his heart, that I'm on his mind. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, or I had first dibs, God said. Sanctify thee. I set you apart for a purpose. I created you for a reason. Your life matters, and you are a specific tool, and you are a specific treasure, and your life specifically matters to me. And you being able to do wonderful things, me working through you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not, even as the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that which we ask or think. Thank God, that's the work in which he desires to do with us and through us for his glory and the gospel's sake. He sanctified you and me. You realize that we were called, we were created for a purpose. Notice he says, I sanctify thee and ordain thee, or I seek to place my hand of blessing upon you. Could it be that many times we try to stiffen our neck and harden our hearts, put our fingers in our ears and pull our shoulders away from God, and through our actions, speaking louder than our words, we're telling him with a snarl on our face, don't touch me. When God is trying to reach out, he's trying to caress your heart, draw you with loving kindness. Oh, even though we don't see and we can't understand and we can't figure out what the future holds. As the old statement goes, we know who holds the future and how that God has a purpose and God has a path. It's a path of life, as it says in Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. With sin there is pleasure. But it's for a season. There's a definite starting point and there's a definite stopping point. But with God, there are pleasures forevermore, where there is a definite starting moment, but there's never an ending moment. Amen? I've never met anybody, I'm only 34, but I've never met anybody in my short young life that has lived for God and regrets it. They wish they could go back and reclaim the wasted years of serving the King of Kings. No, but rather you'll find the opposite: people who have lived for themselves or for sin or for culture or for whatever it is, you fill in the blank, they wish they could go back and reclaim those wasted years. Many times people even saying, I wish I had given him more, so much more. Because time is a precious commodity. Once you spend it, you can't get it back. You can't save it and you can't store it up. It's something that once it's spent, it is spent, never to be in our possession again. And we must understand that God has called us and created us for a purpose. I hope that you've jotted it down. This is something specific that applies to every single human being here, from the youngest to my children, to the dearest and silverest of saints, all here this afternoon and this morning, to understand that God, the word of the Lord, seeks to come. And he's saying, I've created you and I've called you for a purpose. Don't turn there for the sake of time. Just let me read it quickly. I have it bookmarked here. We find over there in 1 Peter, isn't it wonderful? 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says in verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation. Isn't that wonderful? A chosen generation. Thank God that I'm not just a number. I'm not just a name. I'm just not one of so many others on a list of so many, however many millions of believers there might be walking the face of this earth in the 21st century, but thank God that I am a chosen generation, or it means that I have been selected. I have been picked out of the crowd. And every single person in this room, God has selected you. God has sanctified you. God has ordained you. He has chosen you. He has handpicked you. The hand of heaven has picked and selected you. He says, I've got a purpose. Question is, are we yielded to the purpose? Are we willing to fulfill the good pleasure of God, the path, the plan that God has? Maybe there's somebody in this room that you've gone through the motions and the externalisms of surrendering your life to God, but there's never been a genuine moment your heart truly yielded to the King of Kings. You've given God 95% of your life and your heart, but there is a little bit in reservation as a contingency plan in case God fails you and falls through. May we have our all on the altar of sacrifice laid, giving God our everything. Take the world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I surrender all. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, kingly. Amen? Kingly. I believe it was David Livingston, the great missionary and explorer. Please forgive me if I don't say the statement correctly, but I'm praying that I can remember it correctly. He said, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by our heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Oh, I got to do this. Got to live for God. Got to do. No, we get to, amen, handpicked and selected, a purpose. I have been created, I've been called, every single one of us. And I don't know about you, but the older you get, the more exciting and exhilarating it is, because the more you realize, the less you know, and the greater you need God. And the older you get, the more sweeter it is as you serve him, as the song, thank you, was sung here today in chapel. It's true, it's true, it's true. It's so wonderful, it's so real. Oh, I pray that you know that it's real, that God has a purpose, that God has a place, as we'll see here in a moment. But it's kingly. It's kingly. I shouldn't be rolling around in the muck and the mire of this old world, living like a pagan, living like a heathen. When God has called me out of that, he has lifted me up out of the miry clay and out of the pit and established my goings. He would have me to walk with the King, hallelujah, like the old song of the Billy Sunday Crusades, his favorite hymn, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise his name. And Homer Road Heaver would sing that frequently. Why? Because the people needed to understand, and they rejoiced as they heard it, and they sang as the thousands were thronging there in the tabernacles, how that this was a kingly business. This was not something that came from some administration. This did not come from some organization. This did not come from human beings or from men, but this came directly from the heart of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the Savior of mankind, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the Shepherd and the High Priest. Thank God, he's the one that's created you. He's the one that's called you. You have a purpose. Could it be that we've taken this great commission, and it has become the great, as some have said, omission? Others have said that it is the great commotion. Curtis Hudson said that. Our churches have so many programs and so many ministries and so many this, so many that, but it's not fulfilling the purpose. And listen, if it's not bringing glory to God, but first and foremost, if it's not for the gospel's sake, consider cutting it. Because anything that takes the energy away from your life and from the ministry and even from the church of being able to fulfill the great commission to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to teach them to observe all things, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, to do these things, it's parenthetical. It's not as important. We must make sure, as the statement has been made through generations, to keep the main thing the main thing. We've been created for the gospel's sake. And for the glory of God. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation to be sacred, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God, what a blessing. Are you still in Jeremiah 1? Would you say amen? And we see here quickly, called, created for a purpose, called with a passion, called with a passion. He says, I have sanctified thee and I have ordained thee. Can't you sense the excitement from the voice in the heart of God as he's speaking here to Jeremiah? Can't you hear him just so ecstatic and pumped and fired up about this potential of this life as he is about to enter into the ministry and into the calling of what God had for him? And he says, I have created you, I have called you. And here we see the passion to be a prophet unto the nations. Of course, Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And I'm nobody, I'm nothing. And all of us are nothing. Who are we to take our finite lips and be anointed with infinite power? Who are we so earthly, sinners saved by grace, to take such a supernatural message? The Lord came back in verse number 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jumping down to verse number 17, we see here that God speaking again says, thou therefore gird up thy loins. I think this is amazing how this all dovetails together, because I had no intention of even going to Luke 12 20 minutes ago. The Lord pressed that passage in my heart. I said, okay, Lord, here we go. And now I see why, how it dovetails. I like that. I'm just talking my mind, I suppose. Gird up. Write it down. Gird up and rise, or rise up and speak unto them all that I command thee, or speak up. Gird up, rise up, speak up, that we would arise out of the trivial, that we would arise out of the wickedness and the trash and the filth and the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life, and that we would rise out of the status quo, and we would arise out of the average, that we would arise out of the ordinary, that we would desire to step forth onward, forward, upward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, because we are literally in the fight against Satan and the forces of evil and the very gates of hell. For the soul
souls of men and the kingdom of God and the sake of the church, where are the soldiers of the cross? Where are those who will cry out with tears streaming down their cheeks, "Yes, Lord, use me. I want to live my life for you. Oh, God, you've made me. Oh, God, you've created me. My life has a purpose. I have been called with a passion. God, you are ecstatic and you are fired up and you are pumped about using me, and I don't deserve that. God, I know I'm nothing, and the only way that I can be used fully is with you, the someone, and with the someone, with the no one, something can be done, something supernatural, something glorious, something that is miraculous. Thank God, here today." Would you dream the heart of God? Could it be that many of us are comfortable with complacency? There's no fervency, no urgency, no excitement, no enthusiasm. We've been called, if you'd like to jot it down, I encourage you to do so, called to go in His presence and by His power. Called to go in His presence and by His power. He has called us there down into verse number 19. It says, "And they shall fight against thee." It's not going to be easy. There's going to be sweat, blood, and tears. But listen, you keep on going. The gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. He says, "But they shall not prevail against thee." Isn't that beautiful? "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And God would never call you to do something that cannot be accomplished in His presence and through His power. Understand that the calling of God, it is a very legit thing, and God wants to use you, and it's going to take work. It's going to take a fighting spirit. We must earnestly contend for the faith. And where are the people, the men and the women, who are going to roll up their sleeves and get down in the foxhole, get down on the front lines, get down into the fire, get down into the fight, and give it all they've got? It's not time for us to give up. It's not time for us to give in. It's not time for us to give out. It's time for us to give it all we've got for God and country, for lost souls, families hanging in the balance. Does your heart burn for Jesus Christ? And lastly, we see here, called to a people. Called to a people. If you'd play that video, we have about 60 seconds before we need to conclude. Is everybody okay? Called to a people. If you were noticing in the text, God was saying, "I want you to go to nations. I want you to speak to them. Be not afraid of their faces." And all the different things that could be mentioned here about His call, His purpose to go to a nation and a generation, called to a people, and to stop and to think about the truth that God has specific human beings and souls that He wants you to reach. You specifically to reach. And all that we as Christians, that we would understand that each and every one of us, we might individually, might be the only gospel witness that someone might get. And God is seeking to order our steps and orchestrate divine appointments and opportunities to bring them in from the fields of sin, to go out into the highways and byways, and to compel them to come to the Lord, to pull them out of the fire. You say, "Brother Caleb, what's with the video? What's the number on?" Somebody just spit it out. 133, 134. That's how many people have gone into eternity since the video started. An average of about 2 souls every single second. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord. A passion to save the lost. In the cover of my Bible I have set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Sweetheart, would you come to the piano? And one of those 3 songs, as the Lord lays it on your heart, to play that softly for the invitation. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Oh, God, please. He said, for the lost in sin, give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Help me not to fail. Fill me with thy spirit. Let thy will prevail. Oh God, I know my flesh doesn't want to do it. Oh God, at times I feel like I want to quit and just throw in the towel. But oh God, please help me to keep on going one day at a time. You have called me and created me with a purpose. Would you stop in this time of prayer and thank God for the purpose that he has for your life? Would you stop and thank God and thank him for him creating you? And it's for a reason. Would you pray and please take your time at the altar? Would you pray specifically for the fire of God? Would you pray, Lord, your passion that you've had, that you have toward me, Lord, I pray that I would have that passion for thee. You are ecstatic and excited to use me, and Lord, help me to become even more so ecstatic and excited to be used of you. Oh God, thank you for this privilege. Oh, that our hearts would burn with a sacred fire, that we would rejoice here today, that we are called to go forth, not in our own strength, but in his presence and in his power. How's your walk with God? Right now in this time of prayer, as you're kneeling there, maybe you need to confess the sin. Come on, you know what it is? Of not walking with the King of Kings. Bible really reading has been shallow. Your prayer life has been nil. There's been some communication with the Lord, but no communion. No sweetness of in the garden. Would you yield your everything? Is there someone at the altar that says, Brother Caleb, I need to surrender my life to God. Would you raise your hand? Is there anyone like that? I need to surrender my life to God. Is there anyone who says, I need to re-surrender my life to God? Would you lift your hand? Was there someone like that? God bless you. There's some hands. God bless you. God bless you. Re-surrender. Give it. Give it. Give it to the Lord. Would you pray for the fire? Would you pray for the people that God has for you? There's church planters in this room. There's youth pastors in this room. There's missionaries in this room. Christian school teachers in this room. People. All sorts of specifics here in this room. Understand that God has specific human beings he wants you to reach. Will you be there to be used of God to reach them, or will you be AWOL? Will you quit? Will you be AWOL? Someone's lost condition is depending on you. That's not a guilt trip, that's biblical. God wants to use you. The number is at 585 lost souls that have entered eternity.